Mental Health Monday Marathon. Tackling the stigma.
Hashtag Mental Health Marathon. Currently trending in Liverpool. So thank you for everybody who's helping us out locally. Hopefully we'll get nationally as well. One of the things that you may have noticed actually as part of the conversation, Carrie corrected herself when she used a particular phrase. It's something we're going to touch on now about how we talk about mental health and how people hear mental health or read about mental health or see mental health when it comes to the media. She used the phrase commit suicide. And she said, no, we don't say that anymore. Let's talk about that now, because we've got with us on the programme and joining us from one of our separate studios is Natasha Devon. Now, she's a prominent mental health campaigner and she's behind the Mental Health Media Charter. Natasha, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us part of the Mental Health Monday Marathon.
You're very welcome.
Just on that idea of language, how important is language when we talk around mental health?
Well, I think if my work as a campaigner has taught me anything, it's how important imagery and language is. About 91% of our brain's total capacity for thought is unconscious. So what that means is that as you're going about your day, you are unconsciously absorbing all of the things that you see and hear, and your brain uses that to create narratives and belief systems. So to take your example just then, if you constantly hear commit suicide, you know that people commit crimes, you might have an unconscious belief that it's a criminal offence to take your own life. And there's evidence to show that if people are at risk of suicide, it might put them off from seeking the help that they need because they think that it might have legal implications.
Now, that's interesting, actually, because it's a really sort of quite a small point, but actually it's got a huge impact, hasn't it, if we just change language or think about language differently when we talk about mental health.
Absolutely massive. And, you know, I'm a bit unusual, really, because I have one foot in the media and one foot out of it. But in my experience, there are a lot of really amazing people who work in the field who have just got into slightly lazy habits, and they're doing things because that's the way it's always been done. And a lot of the time they don't realize the impact that it can have. So to give you an example, another thing that's in the charter is we're asking the media to avoid using before and after pictures on eating disorder stories. And if you've never had an eating disorder or you've never known anybody who has, you would assume that seeing a picture of somebody who's incredibly underweight would put you off. But if you know the nature of the illness, you know that, of course, there's this thing called thinspiration, which is a very competitive condition. And it actually gives people who are in the grips of it or who are in recovery something to aim for.
Now, isn't that really interesting? So how much of this is based around the fact that we're not trained enough, if you like, in this? We don't know, and there are people who go in with the best of intentions, you know, to report on stories and to cover stories journalistically. And how much can we change that? And how easy is it to change that?
You know, I think there's been this massive explosion in awareness over the past couple of years, and it's almost happened quicker than we've quite been ready for it. And so we are kind of playing catch up with ourselves. And I'm choosing to believe that a lot of the mistakes that are made by the media are not willful, that they're just done through ignorance. And that's why I created the charter. The charter is just 7 pieces of very basic guidelines, and I launched it for World Mental Health Day last year. But as the campaign grows, I want to start adding more guidelines, not just about mental health, but about things that are related to mental health, like, for example, race, sexuality, gender, nationality, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Give us a sense of what's in that 7. It's a few points, but actually I think even hearing that as a member of the public, you'll think, oh, maybe I'll listen out for that in terms of how I'm hearing about these stories and talking about these types of issues.
So, for example, we have try not to describe in too much depth suicide methodology, because if somebody is at risk of suicide, you don't want to give them tips, essentially, so that there's evidence to show that you can induce imitational behaviours. There is a guidance around understanding the difference between mental health and mental illness. This is really important because I can't tell you the amount of times that I've been speaking to somebody and I say, I work in mental health, and they go, oh, yeah, I've had mental health. And you kind of go, well, yeah, because we've all got a brain, so we've all got a mental health. By definition, you have a mental health. What they mean is I've experienced mental illness. And I think that adds to the stigma, not realizing that you can have mental health in a positive way, and mental health and mental illness are not synonymous. So that's a big one to look out for. And we've also asked them to link to good quality sources of further support and advice. You know, if you're worried about your mental health or the mental health of a friend, one of the worst things that you can do is Google it, because there's just so much misinformation out there, and the person who appears at the top of the Google search isn't necessarily going to be the most evidence-based or responsible. So we've included a list of charities that include people like the Samaritans, Mind, Young Minds, Calm, Beat, who we know will give responsible advice.
Fantastic. And in terms of people signing up to that one, do you have to be in the media to sign up to it, or can you, as a member of the public, take a look at it, read through of it, and get a sense of maybe what your expectations should be from a responsible media?
Well, it's interesting. We've had a lot of bloggers and YouTubers who have asked to sign up to it, which is fantastic because obviously they've got a platform. We've also had organisations, charities and schools as well who have signed up to it. So it is applicable to anyone. And as you say, I would recommend taking a look at it so that you know what you're looking for in the media. And if you think that whether your local paper or local radio station or anybody that you have a connection with should sign up to it, do ask them to get in touch with us. You can find us at MH Media Charter on Twitter and Instagram.
Do you feel like, you mentioned there the things that have happened in the last couple of years, does it feel like it's been a revolution in terms of attitudes towards mental health?
I think that there's been a revolution in terms of awareness raising, but I also believe that the conversation is in many cases happening at cross purposes, because there's still a lot of confusion over things like language. And that's why I've actually written a book called A Beginner's Guide to Being Mental, which is out in May, which aims to pour some clarity so that people can start having the conversation in a more useful way.
Interesting. And Jake, you have these conversations right around the country as well. Is language something that you're aware of, or do you try and see it from your own point of view, what you feel or how you feel comfortable representing your own story?
Yeah, I think the two separate points, actually, because I think in what Natasha's saying with the media is totally different to what you would say to somebody who's trying to explain the situation or their feelings. And if somebody is trying to talk to me or you or to Natasha and wants to use the word commit, then we're not going to say to them, well, no, you don't say that now, if they're trying to tell you something. But what Natasha's doing in the media is absolutely essential, because the reality is, as great as what we're doing today and what charities are doing every single day, a single headline can undo years and years and years of campaigning. And you walk past newspapers and you take in the headlines, whether you believe in them, whether you agree with them, whether you read into the story, you will read those headlines and you'll absorb them. And I just think that the media in this country has such a massive responsibility. And unfortunately, time and time and time again, we see them going for clicks or going for the extreme to try and, you know, get people talking about them and to sell papers. And it's immoral, really. It really is. It's really, really bad.
Is that still happening? Phrases like, bonkers was a phrase which was a very high-profile case used by a tabloid newspaper, which is incredibly unpopular, I'll make a point here, on Merseyside. And loony bins and things like that, Natasha. Are journalists getting a little bit more experienced in regard to this? Or are they still looking for those clicks, those likes, those shares on social media?
It's happening less. But you're right in that clicks are the new currency. So they will try and get you with a clickbait headline. And the problem with that, and I talk about this in regards to education as well, my kind of day job, if you like, is I visit about 3 schools every week throughout the UK. And the problem with the way that mental health education was always traditionally approached is you would have these people who would come in and share a very dramatic story of how their mental health went awry. I remember we had a lady who nearly died of anorexia come in and share her story. And whilst that was a very important story and those types of stories need to be told, what we didn't do was we didn't apply it to ourselves. So it kind of reinforced this notion that you've only really got a problem if you have a very low weight, or if you are self-harming in a way that requires hospitalization, or if you're ready to be sectioned. Whereas all the evidence shows that the earlier you catch a mental health issue, the more treatable it is. So what we need to be doing, I think, is making the model a bit more like physical health. You know, from the moment you were born, it was acknowledged that you've got a body and therefore a physical health, and there are things that you need to know to maintain that. And we all kind of unconsciously monitor our physical health all the time. We should be doing the same with our minds, I think.
In terms of the people that you speak to, Natasha, you speak to a lot of people and you're very well known within the quote mental health community. Do you feel like that quote mental health community is almost ready to go mainstream? Are there enough people with enough ideas, enough different types of aspects and walks of life who can turn all the great work that's going on maybe behind the scenes into mainstream life, that once this parity of esteem is absolutely reached, that actually that will be a new normal and there's 1,001 different people ready to make that a normal?
I hope that that's true. By dint of the kind of silo in which I exist, I think I can sometimes get a false impression of how far we've come, because most of the people I spend my time with are really clued up, obviously, about mental health and incredibly compassionate in their views on it. I remember, and you were there as well, weren't you? We went to the Mind Awards, and you'll remember Stephen Fry said that if aliens were observing the planet, they would say that the people with mental illnesses are the sane ones, because going through the process of recovery means that you have to understand yourself and your behaviors and how you relate to other people. And so you emerge from that process of recovery probably saner, in inverted commas, than the majority of people, if that makes sense. So I tend to mix with those types of people, but then occasionally I kind of step outside and, you know, I'll see something that Katie Hopkins has written on Twitter, or I'll just hear something which belies a complete ignorance about the issue, and it reinforces to me just how far we have to go.
Thank you for your time. If people want to sign up to the Mental Health Media Charter, or just read up on it, at MH Media Charter on both Twitter and Instagram, I think I'm right in saying, Natasha?
That's right. And we're in the process of setting up a Facebook page as well, so stay tuned for that.
Excellent. And when's your book out?
It's out on the 31st of May, and it's called A Beginner's Guide to Being Mental.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you for your time, Natasha. Really appreciate you joining us on the programme.
Thanks for having me, and good luck with the rest of the marathon.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Mental Health Campaigner Natasha Devon. It's Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Monday Marathon with Mick Coyle on Radio City Talk.